At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. His former teammate tells the world exactly what the superstar quarterback really wants to hear. Don't miss it. Then, Dak in Dallas. The sides are talking. What does it mean? And wait until you see what his brother posted on Twitter. Plus, we've got bad blood. A former Patriot throwing serious shade at Bill Belichick. You'll hear from Brady and from Gronk as we get up with you. Starting right now on a Tuesday from New York City. Delighted you are here. Greeny ready to roll, and we are fired up. 5 days and counting until Super Sunday, and the squad is ready to go. Take a look at the sport jacket Graziano's got today. Everybody seems to like it. Swagoo is fired up, and Jeff Saturday is handing out the pancakes of the year. All of that and more as we get up, starting right now with the biggest storyline heading into the NFL offseason, which is, of course, the future of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Yesterday, the Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and their head coach Matt LaFleur addressing the topic. Here's what they had to say.
I don't think I have to do a lot of assuring him, because I think obviously his play speaks for itself. But I will say this, we're really excited, not only for next year, but the years to come. I mean, he's playing at such a high level that he always has. You know, this year was a special year. It didn't finish like we wanted to finish, but I think everybody's, you know, purely, you know, motivated to get back. And I think, like I said, I don't think there's anything that we have to do. He's our quarterback and he's our leader.
Absolutely. He will be here for a long time. I know I said that before, but for a long time.
All right, so that's what they had to say. Meanwhile, here's a former Packer offensive lineman, T.J. Lang, who said, quote, "I don't think he wants to go anywhere, but I think he's going to hold their feet to the fire and say, hey, if you're going to keep me around, you're going to pay me and you're going to bring in some players that I want to play with where we can take this next leap." So that's a former teammate and friend. Let's get to the squad here, and let me start, Graziano, with you. What is your sense as you talk to people around the league about the way they can say all the things they want? How does this look to you?
Yeah, we're going to find out. Look, to T.J. Lang's first point, if the Packers make an adjustment to Aaron Rodgers' contract, and again, we don't know for a fact this is what he wants, but if they make an adjustment to his contract, which has 3 years left on it, to guarantee more of the remaining money, then we'll know that they're backing up their talk. He's going to be here a long time. If they don't, then they're leaving themselves the option to switch to Jordan Love at some point, who they took in the first round last year. And the Packers usually like to leave themselves flexibility. So we'll find out about that if they make an alteration to the contract this offseason. To T.J. Lang's second point, this notion that the Packers need to go out and bring in more guys is just not supported by facts. They're 13-3 each of the last 2 years. The fact that they lost the NFC Championship game does not mean that they didn't have enough good pieces around Aaron Rodgers, or that they should have done better in last year's draft. The Packers operate a certain way, and I believe will continue to operate a certain way, and I don't think they're going to forsake their long-term picture for short-term gain anytime soon, especially considering how good they've actually been the last couple of years.
That is fair. They've been really good for a really long time, in large part because they've had back-to-back first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks over the last 30 years, but have only two championships to show for it. So, Jeff Saturday, as you listen to all of that, what did you take away from it?
T.J. Lang is dead on. I mean, listen, and I get everything that Dan is saying about what the Packers have done. They are going to change suit. They're going to give them another contract. They're going to show we're committed to you. They're going to break what their plan was for Love. We talked about when he drafted. I was like, look, Love better Love be on the bench, man, because that's where he's going to be unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. This guy is playing at an all-star level. He's going to be an MVP again. You're looking at him. I think he wants more of what Tom Brady got in Tampa, right, is when you get there, you saw them bring in Gronk and Brown and guys that he wanted to play with. I think that's what Aaron is looking for, right? Is more more conversations about a guy he's going to want, they're going to want to keep around and can help them take it to the next level. It's not only just about playing good; it's about playing with the guys you want to play with. Whether it's Lindsley, who's up, you know, their center for a contract, you name it. Go through the list of guys, and I think at this point he's watching how teams have put teams together for their player for now. And here's the deal: if Aaron plays and they give him a 5-year deal and they won a Super Bowl or two in those 5 years, you've done the right thing by the organization. Whatever happens after that, you make do. But I think TJ's dead on, and I think they're going to break the tradition of what the Packers have been in the past.
Swagoo, you look skeptical. Why?
I just keep thinking about, first of all, I like the fact that they drafted Jordan Love, because they could be sitting here in the same situation the Steelers are in right now, trying to figure out what their future look like while trying to work cap numbers with their current quarterback. So I don't mind that. And I'm more in lane with Grimes. Like, G, you know, I've been on that. When this whole draft thing started, I was like, I don't see much the Green Bay Packers need. Yeah, you can upgrade positions, but every team probably can upgrade positions. You end up in the NFC Championship, and the fact is, the Green Bay Packers for 2 years in a row did not get it done. The players did not get it done. That doesn't mean they're good. This is a 13-win football team again. So, look, the bottom line is this. Aaron Rodgers wants security. Aaron Rodgers wants more players. That's it, G. I'm done talking about it. I ain't talking about Aaron Rodgers going anywhere. I ain't talking about what the possibility of him being traded or not wanting to be in Green Bay. Do what y'all want to do. But I would have loved to go to back-to-back NFC championships. I'm just saying.
That's fine. And maybe this is less about that than it is about the fact that Aaron Rodgers, with a team, once they drafted his replacement, he lost a lot of control over the future of his career. And I think this is about him trying to reclaim that control. I think this is about him saying to them, and Dan Graziano, I'm looking at you, you're not going to decide when you've had enough of me. You're not going to decide next year, well, if I don't play quite as well, we'll move on to Jordan Love. He's taking control of the narrative and saying, you want me to stay here and keep doing all of this? Well, then put your money where your mouth is long term. Make a commitment to me. I'll commit to you, and we're all good here. It may be less about players than it is about a player at this stage of his career taking control of his own situation.
Yeah, and that's speculative on our part, obviously, and on TJ Lang's, but we know because of his public comments that that's how Aaron Rodgers reacted to the drafting of Jordan Love. Oh, I wanted to spend my whole career here, and now I may not be able to do that, and it's not in my control. So, yeah, he could seek to get more guaranteed money on the contract, but I go back to a point I made last week. He's Aaron Rodgers. When you do the deal, get the guarantees. Don't come to me 2 years later and ask him for guarantees. Like, I'm Aaron Rodgers. If you don't guarantee me the money, I'm not going to sign. What would the Packers have done if he had taken that stance? These guys need to think about that when they do the deals, not 2 years later.
All right, we will have more on this as we go. We'll have plenty of time to say more about this, but there are a million other quarterback situations, and let's get to some of those here. Graziano, running the hurry up, there were reports about the 49ers being interested in Kirk Cousins. What do we have?
Yeah, I mean, that's good dot connecting, right? Because Cousins and Kyle Shanahan have a relationship from their time together in Washington. If the 49ers decide to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, they can. The contract allows them to do that. And obviously, if the Vikings decide they want to move on from Cousins, is it crazy to imagine a scenario like what the Rams just did with Goff to get out of a contract? No. But again, one possibility of many for the 49ers if it goes that way. The Jets are looking, we know, as a possibility. Could they upgrade from Sam Darnold? They like Darnold. They could build around him. They could use all their draft picks to do that. Or they could make a run at Deshaun Watson. And I expect them to at least look into that and see what the price is when the Texans decide they want to talk about Deshaun Watson price tags. I think the Jets are going to be in that mix. And I think, you know, it's either that or stick with Darnold and build around him. And then our guy, Dak Prescott, still no long-term deal with the Dallas Cowboys. The two sides have talked since the season ended. The talks are pretty much where they were, as I understand it, last July when they weren't able to come to a deal, amicable but still not in agreement. Like a lot of deals right now, it's hard to do them because they don't know what the 2021 salary cap's going to be yet. That'll flesh itself out here in the next month and a half. But the Cowboys still intend to try and sign Dak Prescott long-term, to franchise him if they can't get it done by March 9th. And everything I said this time last year still applies, except the price tag has gotten higher.
Right. So what seems like about 12 news cycles ago, Adam Schefter said the Dak Prescott offseason is going to be the biggest storyline of the offseason. And yesterday, his brother went on Twitter. Dak's brother, Tad, went on Twitter with the following. He was commenting on a picture of Jared Goff with the caption that with Jared Goff being traded to Detroit, every quarterback in the 2016 draft class besides Dak Prescott has been cut, traded, or benched. And Tad wrote on top of it, so the guy who was never supposed to make it is now the last one standing. Let that sink in. So that's a little glimpse into the mentality right now of the family. Swagoo, what are your thoughts?
I mean, the evidence is there, G. Like, I get it. I get it. Every quarterback, Jared Goff's situation, paid after a Super Bowl. Carson Wentz, paid after he had a great MVP season, was in that conversation. Dak Prescott just been sitting idle, just sitting in Dallas doing his thing, numbers speaking for themselves, playing at the same high level that these other two guys was playing at, and he's sitting here in his third cycle. I'm with Dan. I know we have to report it, but the frustration level for me is beyond. And I get it that we got to figure out the salary cap, and I understand that there's numbers that need to come into play so you can build around and have the type of players you want to have. I understand all of that. But I was saying 2 years ago, this ain't normal. I screamed it. It ain't normal. We sitting here again about to have the same conversation about the offseason with new things. Yep. An ankle is a new thing. Yep. A roster is a new thing. A salary cap is a new thing. And if the negotiations were hard the previous 2 years, guess how hard they done got now? And Dak has had time to think, been away from the organization, seen the things that have transpired. And by no means am I saying he's not excited to potentially get back. But again, I will repeat this. Dak Prescott, I advise you, do not sign a tender. You have to play hardball with the Dallas Cowboys at this point. There is nothing left to do. Now, if it is something left to do, I'm going to let Jeff Saturday and Dan Graziano tell me what that is. But in my mind, there's nothing left for Dak to do. Everything on the Cowboys.
I think Jeff may have an idea, and I can preface it by saying that over the last five seasons, the player in the National Football League who has made the most money is Kirk Cousins. Jeff Saturday, pick it up from there.
Keep Kirk Cousins to death, baby. Just keep chopping that wood. $37 million, $42 million. I'm going to keep going up, man. I don't care what the cap is. I don't care what the rest of it is. You're going to give me exactly what I want, or I'm going to keep banging you over the head until I get my money and go to another team and make the money I wanted with the years I wanted with that. I have done everything I needed to do to show you what type of player I am, what type of leader I am, what type of leader I am in the community. Like, just keep rolling out all the what I've already shown you. There's nothing else to show me. What you need to show me, Jerry Jones, is the checkbook. That's what you need to show me. That's all that we need to talk about. I don't care how y'all get on the radio and tell me how much you love me, all those kind of things. You show me by paying
me.
And that's the conversation that should have been had years ago. And listen, the more he waits, the better the leverage is for him. I'm not in a hurry, right? I saw what your team looked like without me, right? I saw what everything's happened. I saw what the coaching staff, you already fired a DC you just hired. Like, I could have fixed that. You saw what I looked like in the first four games. I at least kept us in it. Everything he's done, Greeny, and to Swagoo's point, he has put it, all the chips are in. They got to make a bet, man. That's my bottom line. He's got Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones needs to pay the man his money.
And Graziano, you always want to tell us how amicable the conversations are and how it's a two-way street and the Cowboys want to get it done. The only thing I can say is that in every other situation in the entire sport, when a team wants to get a deal done with the quarterback, they do. This is the only time it hasn't.
Right.
It didn't happen in Washington because they didn't want to get a deal done with Kirk Cousins, which suggests to me that despite what they say, the Cowboys still don't want to go all the way with Dak Prescott, because in every other case in the sport, it works out.
But what's all the way? I mean, this conversation started with a tweet about Goff and Wentz being traded or benched and Dak still being there. If Dak had wanted the Goff or Wentz deal last year, he could have taken it, but he wanted a shorter deal. This is a two-way street, right? It's not just because the Cowboys don't want to sign. He hasn't liked what they've put in front of him because he doesn't like the years. It's not the money. So there has been an effort from the Cowboys, and, you know, there has been resistance from Dak's side. It's not just on Dallas that this isn't done. I think people have to realize that this is a two-way street, and this player wants something different than what others in his situation have.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, in all those other places, was it a one-way street? I don't understand. Somehow it always seems to work out, except in this case. I have to leave it there. We have more. I got to get to the Super Bowl. We're 5 days away from the Super Bowl, which would be number 10 for a fellow by the name of Brady. But his first as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, of course, and his first without Bill Belichick as his coach. And Brady yesterday spoke about the impact that Belichick had on his career in New England.
And I certainly could never have accomplished the things in my career without his support and his teachings and incredible coach and mentor for me.
I mean, I've always had a great relationship with Bill, but ever since I got to the Bucs, there just hasn't been any contact at all.
Okay, so that started out really good, and then it got a little bit decreasingly good, and now it's going to get way worse. Brady's former teammate Danny Amendola was not singing anybody's praises, certainly not those of Bill Belichick, yesterday. Listen to this.
When you see Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
So that is what Danny Amendola said. Jeff Saturday, what do you think of that?
Danny Amendola is high. Put that up there, bro. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me, dude? Listen, I'm sure he's Brady's boy. I'm sure he's all of those things. But give me a break, man. Hey, in case anyone's confused, in the 20 years that Tom Brady spent with the Patriots defense gave up 18 points a game. 18 points. You don't think you're going to win a lot of games in the NFL giving up 18? Of the 6 championships, his defense was in the top 10 all of those wins. Like, it does matter. I love Tom Brady. I think what he's done has been absolutely remarkable. Give the coach some credit, man. It is an and conversation, not an or. It is an and. They were as successful as they were because they worked together. But Bill Belichick had the game plan to put it together from a defensive perspective, special teams, and offense. So all this idea that one guy gets all the credit is laughable. Danny Amendola, I don't know what got into him, but he is straight up high. I don't know if he's in California, Colorado. I'm not sure whether states is legal, but he's in one of them states right now. I'm just letting y'all know.
Okay, fair enough. So I was looking through your notes, and you had an interesting take on this. What did you think when you heard that conversation?
I tend to agree more. Now, I know that it's not all Tom Brady, and Tom Brady is not responsible for it all. But, G, you know me. I've been players. Players make great coaches. Trust me, they overcome coaching a lot. And Bill Belichick is not immune to that. Nick Saban, one of the greatest college coaches that's ever done it. I played for him. Had to overcome coaching at times. Greg Popovich, I'm sure Tony Parker and Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and David Robinson had to overcome coaching. The bottom line is this. There's a correlation between the greatest of all times and the greatest coaches. Phil Jackson, right, won championships. Coincidentally, he had Jordan, and then he had Kobe and Shaq. Like, this is not one of those situations where we have to have this against each other. But players are more responsible for championships. Players are more responsible for organizations having success over a long period of time. You don't think Willie McGinnis and Vince Wilfork and Richard Seymour and all of those, James, all of those guys that played defense for the New England Patriots had a lot to do with the Patriot way as well. That's where I disagree with Danny Amendola. But I guarantee you this, they wouldn't have went to 9 without Tom Brady at quarterback. And that was the most important part of that whole situation. Because even though they gave up 18 points, Jeff, when they got the Super Bowls, Tom Brady had to pull last-minute drives and do all of these things. Had to mount a comeback against the Atlanta Falcons. How you like that defensive game playing early in the game? So, look, I'm more players. I'm more for the players being the reason.
They had 3 points until they came back, so you can't say it's all on the defense. Like, everybody was playing bad till the end. But think about, they stopped the greatest show on turf. The Colts, which I was a part of, one of the most prolific offenses, they held us to 3 points in AFC Championship games. Like, this isn't just Tom Brady. Vinatieri bust out two really important kicks, right? So it's all of it. My whole point with Amendola is you can't just credit one guy with all these things. And the guys you just named, listen, the Hall of Fame should be littered with guys from the Patriots defense. I can assure you, I saw them one-on-one. I understand how good those cats were. So the game plan they placed together, man, it is freaking for real. And by the way, Belichick put that together. So you got to give him some kind of credit. By the way, Amendola, he gave you a job. So come on, man. Like, give me a break.
Belichick was a defensive coordinator before he got to the Patriots. Quick final thought, Graziano, where do you fall on all this?
Well, my first thought was, we had Danny Amendola on a 90-minute NFL Live last summer, and I was begging him to say something this interesting the whole show, and he didn't. So I wonder where this was then. But look, Bill Belichick's not going to win six Super Bowls if he doesn't find the greatest quarterback of all time in the sixth round. Tom Brady's not going to win six Super Bowls if Bill Belichick's not as good as he is at maneuvering the salary cap and putting a roster together. To Jeff's point, it's and, not or, and I think that's the key thing to remember here.
No doubt.
I mean, there's just nothing better than to sum it all up with a reasonable man and a reasonable thought. We'll take our first break. We got so much still to come on Get Up. Will the trade to send Jared Goff to Detroit make it harder for the Eagles to deal Carson Wentz? Is that still on the table? We're talking about it. And fireworks in Atlanta last night. We'll show you exactly what happened between LeBron James and some fans. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. You could save even more by bundling home and car insurance. All right, and a little later this morning, Jeff Saturday is going to be doing his pancakes of the year, but I'm told you have an appetizer for us, Jeff.
Yes, sir. We got my man Ben Garland just administering justice right here. Watch that. Bam! Give some of that nonsense, baby. That's what I am talking about. Laying hat early. And it, listen, if y'all think this is good, just wait till you see the pancake. This is the cheap appetizer. We ain't even close to the real meal, Swagoo. You're going to feel it later, baby.
Those are coming up
Jeff,
off the top
early.
Of the next
it's
hour.
It's too early for it, man.
We also have this coming up. Is there something the Eagles' new head coach said yesterday about his quarterbacks that has Swagoo fired up? You will hear it next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and the big news from the weekend, of course, saw Matthew Stafford traded to the Rams for Jared Goff and a bushel full of draft picks. Goff now a part of the Detroit rebuild under new head coach Dan Campbell. But with the quarterback carousel now officially spinning, one thing that has come up here has been how could all of this impact Carson Wentz? Since entering the league as the top two picks in the 2016 draft, both Goff and Wentz's careers have been marked by team success, not necessarily individual accolades, huge contracts in both cases. Wentz's Eagles won Super Bowl 52, but that was, of course, with Nick Foles at quarterback. So let's bring in a man who knows all things about the Eagles. I've got Sal Palantonio with me today from St. Pete in Florida. And, Sal, you've covered all 10 of Tom Brady's Super Bowls for this network, and as the week goes on, we will dive into that. But today I really wanted to get into this with the Eagles. With the trade of Jared Goff, what are the implications now for Carson Wentz?
Well, Michael, think about this. Before there was the beautiful mystery of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and the trade demands of Deshaun Watson and what was going on in Detroit and Los Angeles, Carson Wentz was the first quarterback on the coaching carousel. Reported by our Chris Mortensen and Adam Schefter that Carson Wentz wanted out in Philadelphia. And when you look at Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, they both came into the league at the same time. They were both given lucrative contract extensions. They both did not live up to those contract extensions. In order for the Lions to swallow the contract of Jared Goff, the Rams had to throw in two first-round picks. Now, could you imagine if Howie Roseman tried that in Philadelphia in order to trade Carson Wentz's onerous contract situation, that he would dare throw in draft picks for a possible trade partner to swallow Carson Wentz's very difficult contract, which would make a capologist blush? It could never happen in Philadelphia. I don't think Howie Roseman would even try it. He'd be laughed off the stage in Philly. He would definitely be excoriated for it. So I think it raises the question now. The bar has been set to trade Goff, to trade Wentz. You're going to have to throw in draft picks to take on that big contract. And there's one other point about this that has been made in Philadelphia and around the league, right? It is that the Rams traded their failed quarterback and kept Sean McVay, who, by the way, could not beat Doug Peterson in big games, scored 3 points against Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl. The Eagles got rid of Doug Peterson, who beat Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback when Tom Brady threw for 505 yards, and they kept so far in quotes, underlined, italicized, Carson Wentz, who could still be available in a trade. It's very interesting what Nick Sirianni has said so far about the quarterback situation. He has obviously left all options open on the table. But if you're going to try to trade Wentz and throw in two picks, good luck trying to sell that to the Philly fan base.
I totally get that part of it. That's why this all surprised me so much, Sal, just in the moment that I have left here. It was my feeling, based on what you just said, that in the power struggle, Wentz demanded a trade and won a power struggle inside the organization. Whether anyone agrees with it or disagrees with it, he won the power struggle and Peterson got fired. So the idea that he still might get traded stunned me. So you believe there is still a chance that the Eagles would trade him if they found something palatable?
I think there's a very slim chance. I know there's a lot of reporting on both sides of this. But right now, I think Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie believe that Carson Wentz is, quote unquote, fixable. That's why they hired Nick Sirianni. Jeffrey Lurie has said as much publicly and privately in Philadelphia, and so is Howie Roseman. They want to try to fix Carson Wentz, and they want to try to make Jalen Hurts work. They're going to have a quarterback competition, but if the right deal comes along, you could see them trading one or the other in order to clear the deck so they don't have this quarterback quagmire that goes throughout the spring and into the summer and throughout training camp. Because right now, it's a mess.
It's outstanding insight. No one knows this stuff better than Sal. Sal, we'll talk later in the week as we get set for the Super Bowl, and your coverage of it will continue. Meanwhile, you mentioned the new coach, Nick Sirianni, talking about having competition everywhere. Let's make sure everyone hears that. This is what the new coach said yesterday.
A core value, like you just mentioned, Angelo, is competition. And that's competition with the quarterbacks. That's competition with the wide receivers. That's competition with the DBs. That's competition everywhere, right? And so it's just everybody is going to compete.
Okay. Swagoo, competition at every position. What do you think?
That's a lie. That's a lie. We're not going to come right off of Sal Pal talking about all of the things the damn Eagles did for Carson Wentz and then come to the next segment and say they got a quarterback competition. The quarterback competition was between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz, and obviously we know who won that. Now we get to a season where Sirianni comes in, a Frank Wright guy, writing on the wall for the Philadelphia Eagles about fixing Carson Wentz, and he talking about a quarterback competition. Bro, you literally were brought to Philly to fix Carson Wentz. You were brought there to do that and also have him be the catalyst for what y'all do offensively. But it's a quarterback competition. Gee, I done heard this before. I done heard quarterback competition my entire life. You know what I knew? All my years in Dallas, Tony Romo was going to be the starting quarterback. You know what I knew in LSU? Rohan Davey was going to be the starting quarterback, and then it was going to be Matt Mock. Like, this whole notion that the Philadelphia Eagles brought in a coach with the background of the guy that Carson Wentz had the most success under, but it's going to be a quarterback competition. If I was Jalen Hurts, I'd be pissed off. If I was the Philadelphia Eagles football team, I'd be pissed off about the Doug Peterson situation. And, man, listen, if Carson Wentz don't ball and he is the starter, he going to really understand what Philadelphia fan base is like.
Yeah, I think that's all well taken. So, Jeff, let's talk about that for a moment here because the new coach is coming in. I mean, they called him Frank Reich Jr. when they first hired him. He is clearly coming in to fix Carson Wentz, but he also inherits, at least for the moment, a quarterback controversy, which is the last thing any team wants. Do you believe they can continue with both of those guys? Meaning, if they don't trade Wentz, do you think they need to do something with Jalen Hurts?
Absolutely. Listen, and to Swagoo's point, the only competition for Carson Wentz is, can somebody give a trade offer that the Eagles will take? That's the competition, because when it hits the field, he is going to be the guy. So if you're Jalen Hurts, you're honestly going back in that office going, hey, if this is the way it's going to be, help me get out of here, right? Find me a trade partner so that I can get out and show teams that I can play. That's what that's going to become. Because to Swagoo's point, the last thing you can have is when you walk in that locker room. And you know, whenever they talk about QB competition, by the way, I have never seen a quarterback competition. Those dudes ain't built for that. Like offensive linemen, defensive linemen have competitions, bro. You know why quarterbacks get competed with when they send their competitor off somewhere else and bring in some old vet they know can't start more than two games. That's the way the league is put together. So all this competition is, can you trade one or the other, get the most value? And I think that's why in that press conference he left it open, you know, trying to hang some bait for anybody who wants to be in that Wentz sweepstakes. But other than that, he'll be the guy if he stays in Philly.
Let the record show, Jeff, that one of the reasons you never saw a quarterback competition is that Peyton Manning was your quarterback, and then there wasn't a whole lot of need for that. So, Graziano, put a finishing bow on this thing.
Argument.
How should we expect this thing to play out?
Look, I mean, I sat here a week ago and said the Rams were stuck with Goff, so I want to make sure and leave myself some off-ramps here. Look, the Sal's point about having to trade picks to get rid of Goff and therefore a similar situation with Wentz is correct. They would have to compensate someone for taking that contract off their hands. Also, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison with Goff. The Rams are eating $22 million worth of dead money on Goff's deal this year. For the Eagles, that number would be $34 million. And if they wait till after March 20th when they have to pay him a roster bonus, it would be $44 million. So they can wait till June and do it and knock down this year's hit, but then they'd have a hit next year. So a little bit trickier than moving Goff was. Not impossible. I'm listening to Nick Sirianni say stuff that new coaches say.
And I'm thinking Joe Judge got to the Giants last year and wouldn't say that Daniel Jones was the starter, even though everybody knew he was, right? Like, that's just sort of what coaches do. They want to make sure that the roster hears it. I know these guys are saying they don't buy it, but that's how the coach feels anyway. So, yeah, I think Wentz is the most likely Eagles starter this year. But, again, after last week, I got to leave myself a little bit of an opening.
All right, much more football as we go. But let me take you now to the game of the night from the NBA. It was the Lakers and the Hawks. It was in Atlanta. We got LeBron. We got Trae Young. We're going to pick it up on the fourth quarter because this was a good game. The Lakers are up by two, and LeBron would score 21 on the night. The fall away three, and the Lakers extend the lead to five. Same score now. It's LeBron. Watch a little fancy behind the back here, and then there's Kyle Kuzma. Lakers got 32 points off their bench. They're up by eight. Now, here's the controversial moment. In the fourth, Hawks trying to inbound. Keep an eye courtside as a fan appears to be chirping at LeBron. Atlanta is allowing courtside fans. The fan would pull down the mask as she was speaking, which obviously is problematic at this point for any number of reasons. In the end, two men and two women were removed from the game. She had a lot to say later on Snapchat. We'll have more on that in a moment. First, let me show you how the game ended. Under 2 minutes to play, Hawks down four. Trae Young, that's his only three of the night. He had 25. It's a one-point game. Just over a minute to play. Still a one-point game. LeBron, top of the key. Lakers had just seven threes on the night, but that one makes it a four-point Laker lead, and then under a minute to play, same score. Hawks down by four. Need a bucket. Don't need this. We got defense. We got transition. We got LeBron going the other direction. Yes, and it's good. 21, nine assists, seven boards. Lakers get the win 107-99, but afterwards, this was what LeBron was talking about.
I'm happy fans are back in the building. I miss that interaction. I need that interaction. We as players need that interaction. I don't feel like it was warranted to be kicked out. There was a back and forth between two grown men, and then when someone else jumped into it and said their piece, and it kind of got blown out of proportion.
So he never really seemed that upset about it. Again, her reaction was widely seen on social media last night. And then LeBron, after seeing that, tweeted, courtside Karen was mad. The Hawks are one of nine NBA teams currently allowing fans to attend their games. So that was the game of the night and the controversy of the night. Meanwhile, Super Tuesday doubleheader coming your way for you on ESPN and the ESPN app. 7 Eastern matchup of the night is number 6 Texas taking on Baylor. And then you got number 12 Illinois taking on Indiana. Good hoops tonight, Super Tuesday on ESPN. Coming up, Tom versus Time. Currently, Tom is winning big. How long will he play? Wait till you hear what he says about his future. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G.
Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
All right, this is the time of our week where you get to hear what other people say, and then Marcus Spears gets to tell you exactly what they really mean at Swagoo Says. First up, followed by the name of Tom Brady, had a very interesting humble brag during an unusual media day yesterday. Listen to this.
This is crazy media day. I'm sitting here in an empty room. This is very different than the other nine experiences.
That's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
Man, you mean to tell me I leave New England, I make the Super Bowl in Tampa, and I don't have my welcoming committee? I mean, these people are like family. We've been together 10 years. I've seen the same people that welcomes me into the Super Bowl for 10 years, and nobody's here. Some of them are godparents to my kids. Some of them have been over to family functions. We family. Like, all of these people I've known for most dudes' careers is the fact when I changed teams in the first year. That's all Tom Brady's saying. Where's my family? We've become family over the last 10.
No one has been there. Well, the Volunteers haven't been there as many times as he has been there. Okay, I love that one. The next up is Buccaneers pass rusher extraordinaire Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, this one requires a little setup. You know the Chiefs are banged up on their offensive line. They're without their two tackles. So a player named Mike Remmers is going to be starting in the Super Bowl. JPP was asked about him. And here's what he said.
Man, I ain't even know who that was, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. But is this a tackle that you're talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I don't too much care about it. You know, they gotta figure that out, and I'm going to play some great football.
He doesn't even know who it is. That's what he said. Swagoo, what do you say?
First of all, I love the shade by JPP because we absolutely know who these dudes is because we study them all week long. But basically what he's saying is, I don't give a damn who playing tackle. Gee, I'm going to sack the quarterback. It don't matter if it's Remus. It don't matter if they bring back Jonathan Ogden. It don't matter who come out there. I'm in the Super Bowl. I'm going ball out. I'm a real G. It really don't matter to me who playing tackle. I'm just going to take care of business against anybody that's out there. That's what JPP saying. And if it wasn't in front of the media, he would have cursed.
Let me bring in the offensive lineman in this show, because is that how disrespectful can it possibly be?
Thank you. I mean, are you serious right now? I mean, listen, Swagoo's like, he knows who he is. No, he don't. He don't know who he is. Listen, my defensive lineman, whether it was Mathis or Freedy, them cats, they always called offensive linemen by numbers. Yeah, I got to go against 72 over there, whatever that dude's name is. Offensive lineman, man, we studied, like, the last 5 years of where this guy was, his college move, where he went to college, who coached him. Like, we get into details. He's over there like, he didn't know who that cat was. He's like, I don't even know the guy's name. It couldn't be more disrespectful, man. Offensive lineman, need to hang him up, you know, get him on a peg, show him who's boss, be like, now you know me, baby. Now you know me. Come on, Rimmers. You got to be better than that.
That's why they play O-line. That's why they play O-line, G. They always want to be prepared. Us defensive guys, we just want to go out there and bang somebody's head in. Just them always want to be prepared.
Get two good
plays. Hey, what school
all
you
all he's
got to
have is two good plays, and he'll be the MVP of the Super Bowl.
I love the healthy disrespect. But let me get back to one more. Swagoo says, this one is Tom Brady again. He was asked yesterday about playing beyond the age of 45. Here's what he said.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely consider that. When to walk away, that's a good question. I think I'll know when it's time. So I don't know when that time will come, but I think I'll know. I don't think I can ever go at this game half-assed. You know, I got to put everything into it. When I put it all out there, I feel like I can't do that anymore. I don't feel like I can commit to the team in the way that the team needs me. Then I think that's probably time to walk away.
All right, so that's what Brady said. What does Swagoo say?
I'm going to walk away when I get ready. I know all you other chumps and peasants. Yeah. Lost the father time, but I'm going to beat it. Didn't I already show y'all I win every damn thing? I'm about to play in my 10th Super Bowl. All I hear is father time wins, father time wins. Well, I'm going to win because I'm Tom Brady and I don't lose. And I'm going to be in the Super Bowl when I'm 50. I'm going to be in Super Bowl number 100 when I'm 50 years old playing. I just showed a clip yesterday of Tom Brady playing in the Super Bowl in 1974. He going to play in the one in 2020. That's what he's saying. You mere peasants. You cannot play as long as I play. Hey, G, grasp this for a second, okay? I played 9 years in the NFL, defied all odds based on NFL numbers. Tom Brady been to 10 Super Bowls.
He was playing before you got in the league, and he's still playing all this time after you got in the league. I mean, Jeff, it really is ridiculous. What he's doing is supposed to be impossible. We can no longer say it's impossible because he's doing it, but it is supposed to be impossible.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's such a remarkable feat that he's able to do this at the level he's doing it at. I mean, it would be one thing if he's just running out there and you know, and he doesn't look like himself and he's getting carried by the team and all those kind of things. This is the opposite of that, man. This guy has elevated this entire organization and really brought energy and excitement to this football team. I mean, you talk about a team who ain't made the playoffs in however many years, and then he brings them right back. It is insane what he's doing. And again, I talked about it. Whatever the avocado ice cream, whatever the TB12 stuff, like, I missed it. Me and Swagoo should have jumped on that train a long time ago. Maybe we're teammates with him right now. You know, we're carrying the 40 and older squad.
I'm telling you.
Just rolling through, because this dude looks good, man.
Swagoo, you will like this. And as far as the age difference between these two quarterbacks, Tom Brady was born the year the song Hotel California came out. Patrick Mahomes was born the year Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio came out. That's a generation at minimum. Okay, much more on the age difference between the quarterbacks as we continue. But right now, let's run the floor, beginning with the Rockets, who would tie an NBA record last night with 11 threes in the first quarter. It was the second straight game. The Rockets had a 48-point quarter. They go on to beat OKC 136-106. So that was a blowout. This was not. Dallas closing seconds. Devin Booker go ahead three, taking the lead from the Mavericks with 1 second to go. Luka Doncic had a chance for the game winner with a three, but he would just miss. Suns beat the Mavs 109-108 last night. And how about the big numbers from De'Aaron Fox? 38 points, including 17 straight for Sacramento during the final 7 minutes as the Kings came from 10 down in the fourth to beat the Pelicans. Fox single-handedly outscored the Pelicans team 17-15 in the final quarter. Meanwhile, our NBA doubleheader tomorrow night's a good one on ESPN. Two of the top teams in the East squaring off, with the Pacers taking on Giannis and the Bucks. That's at 7 Eastern. And then you got Devin Booker and Chris Paul and the Suns taking on Zion and the Pelicans. That's our doubleheader tomorrow on ESPN and on the ESPN app. As we continue, one of Aaron Rodgers' longtime Packers teammates says Rodgers isn't going anywhere, but staying won't be cheap. We will explain next.